I like young people. Babies, children, middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, I like them all. Which is a good thing, because that's what my job is. Part of me still can't believe that people will actually pay me to hang out with young people. How lucky am I? And I think that Jesus also liked young people. Actually, I think he loved them. Jesus goes out of his way to heal children, to touch them gently, and here in these two passages, he makes examples of children. When we think about childhood today, it looks very different to childhood in the time of Jesus. We know very little about childhood in the time of Jesus, but we do know that children were reliant on their head of household, their father in particular, and that they would have been seen as the lowest in their family. Girls would have had worth for their marriageability prospects. What honor or wealth could they get for their family through marriage? Boys were seen as additions to the family's workforce, and they would be able to have worth by carrying on the family name. Children could have easily been exploited, and they were completely dependent upon adults. As we look at this scene of the parents bringing children to Jesus, I'm not so sure that the disciples like children. Jesus was their leader and teacher, and the work that he was doing seemed significant and life-changing. Normally, when big events happen, we get children out of the way, needing to remove them from the action. The disciples were trying to do just that. They didn't want the children or those who were the least important to be bothering Jesus. Commentator Henry G. Brinton says it this way: while the disciples see the little children as expendables with little economic or social power, Jesus considers them to be supremely precious and worthy of his blessing. Jesus putting children at the center was Jesus once again placing the weak, the marginalized, and the vulnerable in the spotlight and changing the norms around how we should treat them. Jesus radically invites us to do the same and says that we need to receive the kingdom of God like a child to be able to be part of it. How do we treat children in our church today? What does welcoming children look like? Is it welcoming to have the seats in the back reserved for families who can easily slip in a little bit late or slip out if they need to take a child to the bathroom or to the nursery? Or does that feel like we push families to the back? Don't disturb this space of worship. Keep your noise and your life and your children away from the center. Are we like the disciples, holding children back from Jesus? Don't get me wrong. We have many ways that we embrace children in this church. We put in energy and countless volunteer hours into faith formation classes, programs, children's musicals, the list goes on. But the question I'm asking is, what is the space we invite them into here, at the center of our life together? This place where we all learn and worship across ages? Do we communicate that this space must be still and quiet and not a space for people who find it hard to be still and quiet? In Orlando this summer, I went to a workshop by Rachel Held Evans, where she talked about why people are leaving the church and why some congregations are dying. Out of the many insightful things that she said, a story about a church that was dying stood out to me. A number of folks in that church made comments about a baby crying in the back of the church and how noisy it was. Held Evans said, "Hear that crying and rustling at the back of the church? That is the future of the church." Welcoming children means welcoming noise and movement and mess. But it also means welcoming creativity, wonder, and unmasked humanity. I wonder, when the big things are afoot in our church, do we remove the children? Do we think, like the disciples, that children might delay the real work? Many commentators of this story of Jesus welcoming children warn us not to interpret this passage as needing to become childlike. We do not need to become children again. Yet, we do need to take on some of the qualities that Jesus is implying. When Jesus tells us to receive the kingdom of God like a child, he may have been inviting us to take on the humility and the trust of a child. What does receiving the kingdom of God like a child really mean? The Luke passage says that these were infants, or what we heard read this morning was babies. They were being brought to Jesus. Infants come with nothing to give. They just receive. It is not about their wealth or their power or even the gifts that God has given us. We receive the kingdom of God as a gift from God to us, humbly and without anything to give back in return. How do we receive the kingdom of God in this way? Do we do it readily, trustingly, personally? We rely on the love and care of our parent God. And if we don't receive it in this way, Jesus says that we may never enter the kingdom of God. So, I want us to think about, what do children teach us? Maybe we should all sit on the floor, or maybe we should stare up at the clouds for a little bit. Maybe we should wiggle a little bit in our seats. But when we wiggle, we might giggle, and there you go, being loud in church again. But you know what? I bet Jesus laughed. At least, I really hope that he did. I'm sure that he was serious in some of those sacred moments, but I wonder if he had a sense of humor and he used it in tense situations to change the mood or to lighten the atmosphere. Sometimes we forget that we are in bodies when we come into church and we move only into our heads. Some of us want to forget that we are in bodies because they ache or they scream out in pain. And when we start listening to our bodies, it's hard to listen to anything outside of ourselves. But what do we miss out on when we don't listen to ourselves or enter worship as whole, embodied people? Maybe we should start having a seventh inning stretch halfway through a sermon so that we can all refocus and get our wiggles out. So I want you all to do that with me right now. Let's, everybody stretch a little bit and reconnect with the fact that you're in a body. Instead of trying to still or silence our children, maybe we need to move a bit more. Do we welcome children onto the lap of Jesus, or do we push them away, wanting them to be calmer, tamer, wiser, older, other than how God has made them to be? I like the invitation that this poem by Michael Kofi gives us. Make us enjoy bubbles blown in the wind and chase after in giggling glee before they pop and splatter on our faces. Move us to climb the summer night to the rooftop, watching the meteor shower till dawn's twilight with guttural wows and ohs at the sparkling sky streaks. Give us energy for playing in the debris of the world, turning mud into castles and sticks into houses, and we imagine that we are kings and queens again. Give us eyes to see an enchanted universe where every magical dream and foolish hope are possible and expected, and make us giddy with anticipation. Take our sticky adult minds and thin our thick thoughts until our flowing childhood wonder returns at every cricket and we are moved by chocolate kisses and lip kisses too, until finally you elicit our antediluvian praise and we sit back in your loving arms and your welcoming chest, and we know very little except that we are, and we are in you. I want to turn from what children teach us to what we teach them. I'm really careful with the language that I use when I speak about young people. The way we talk about people matters. It shapes how we think about them and eventually how they start to think about themselves. So I want us to look at this passage from Deuteronomy. This is a key passage of how we think about God and our relationship to God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your hearts. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The words of this passage were so important that people bound these words to their bodies, placing it on their bodies to show what was in their hearts. I want right now for you to trace either on your forehead or on your hand either the word God or God's love. Do it with me right now. Trace it on yourself. this passage talks about reading these words to your children and saying them as you lie down and as you rise up. Jews would have said these words every day. What is your first word to yourself, or to your family, or to God as you get up in the morning? What are the messages that we repeat to ourselves? Children are programmed to learn. They soak up learning as if they're soaking it into every one of their pores. And sometimes we don't want them to be as attentive to what we're saying, and they hear things that we don't want them to because they are so programmed to learn. I'm reminded of the words from the musical Into the Woods. This fall and winter, two local high schools are doing this show, Into the Woods. And so a few weeks ago, some of the MYF and I were coming back from an event, and we listened to song after song after song from Into the Woods and sang most of them pretty much at the top of our lungs. This song comes from one of the key characters, and it's words that come back to me over and over again. Careful the things you say, children will listen. Careful the things you do, children will see and learn. Children may not obey, but children will listen. Children will look to you for which way to turn, to learn what to be. Careful before you say, listen to me. Children will listen. What are we saying to our children? What do they hear? Are we saying, love the Lord your God wholeheartedly, with your whole self, with all of your capacity? As I look at the work of faith formation across the ages, I realize how much space we make for children and young people here does have an effect on how involved and a part of the faith community they feel. Children are not optional extras. They are part of us. Young people are not the church of the future. They are the church. Children are not waiting to grow up to become part of the kingdom of God. They are closer to the kingdom of God than all of us adults with our correct theology and religious practice. And I wonder about our children's time some weeks. Is this a time for the faith of children to be honored, valued, and stretched? For children to be included? Or is it a bite-sized snippet of the sermon so that the adults get a little bit of a heads up? One congregation I was a part of had what was called the rites of a child that they followed in their congregation. One of those rites was that children would not be laughed at during children's time or at any other part of the service. Kids aren't just cute. They are an integral part of the kingdom of God. Even when children are amusing, what are we teaching them by our laughter? That they are here to entertain us, or that we find their questions and thoughts humorous? Not valuing the honest work of faith development that they show. How do we honor the faith of young people and children? I don't want us to just mark the times when they grow older with milestones. I want us all to reflect on how we are growing and changing and how we are hopefully stepping closer to God and growing deeper into our relationship with Jesus and those that God has put us in community with. We are celebrating this Sunday these significant milestones on the path to growing up. But how do we not communicate to young people that it is only when you have grown up that you have a significant faith? By the age of 12, I'll just say that again, by the age of 12, many people have decided on their basic faith and ethical framework that will shape the rest of their lives. When I hear a fact like that, all of a sudden, our children's ministries become really important. Reflecting on the block party that we had last week, and looking ahead to Kids Club starting here, I've been thinking, as we welcome new children into our building, they won't know all of the rules, all of the social norms of our church. But the children who approached Jesus broke out of those norms as well as they came towards this amazing teacher. When the disciples tried to calm things down and get more order, Jesus said, "No, you're going the wrong way. We need more wiggles and daydreams. We need more big questions, even when they might seem naive. We need to honor the space that children hold among us, even when that pushes us into new spaces and we have to learn new things. Many things are out of the control of children, and maybe that's how we should come to God, knowing that we don't have all of the power. Or all of the answers, or the control. We have to rely fully on God and come to God with humility. It is only when we have the humility to welcome a child, and with that all that it brings, that we welcome God into our midst. When we welcome the least of these, we welcome Jesus. May we have the humbleness and trust to accept the gifts that God gives us, knowing that we are loved as we curl into God's care, embraced by the welcome that Jesus offers. Amen.